Nāvayavād vidyaye yajñō Brahmatād brahmavādibhi Brahmatād brahmavādibhi Namuyanti nasochanti Namuyanti nasochanti Narishanti yato gataha Narishanti yato gataha Navyavadvitaye yajno Brahmaitad Brahmavadibhi Namuyanti nasochanti Narishanti yato gataha Yet ever increasingly fresh Hridaye in the heart Yat as Na the supreme knower Paramatma Brahma Brahman Etat this Brahma Vadab Brahma Vadabhi, by the advocates of the Absolute Truth, Na, never, Muyati, are bewildered, Na, never, Sochati, lament, Na, never, Rishyanti, are jubilant, Yata, when Gata have attained. Translation. Always engaged in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all activities. The all-knower, the super soul within the heart of the devotee makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as the Brahman position by the advocates of the Absolute Truth. In such a liberated stage, Brahma-bhuta, one is never bewildered, nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma-Bhuta situation. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A devotee is inspired by the Supersoul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. The devotee does not feel acneed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he is in a stagnant position. In the material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna mantra all day and all night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh. Srila Rupa Goswami said that if he could somehow get millions of ears and tongues, then he could relish spiritual bliss by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There is really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is situated in everyone's heart and that he helps the living entity forget and remember. By the grace of the Lord, the devotee gets inspiration. Tesham satatam yuktanam vajitam prithipuravakam adami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Bhagavad Gita 10.10. As stated, kushala karmanam, those engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service are guided by the Supersoul described in this verse as jnā, one who knows everything, past, present, and future. The Supersoul gives instructions to the sincere, unalloyed devotee on how he can progress more and more in approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami, in this connection, says that the Supersoul, the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exists in everyone's heart. But in the heart of a devotee, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Being inspired by him, the devotees experience increased transcendental bliss in the execution of his devotional service. Omagyatmanandasya jananjana salakaya chaksur militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa gadamayam dadati svabhadantikam. Vanchakalpatubhyascha kripa sindhu bhaeva cha patitananam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shvasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya, in his instructions to Sanatana Goswami, he gives a definition of liberation. His definition is Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, that the living entities are eternally parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. However, we have made our descent in this material world, and we have no idea how long we have been here, but we have been informed that it is quite some time. And when we made our descent, we acquired what is called spiritual amnesia. There is one nice story in this connection of spiritual amnesia. There was a son of a rich man. This is a Christian story, but it's very relevant to our way of thinking. There was a son of a rich man who was driving his car. Because he was materialistic, he was acting independent from his father's wishes. And one day he was on one hill station driving around, and he lost control of his car. The bad news is that when the car hit the bottom of the valley, it exploded. And the good news is the man, the son of the rich man, managed to jump out before hitting the bottom. He landed on some sand dunes and he survived. However, he bumped his head and he forgot completely his identity. He was just sitting there, completely bewildered. After many hours, some tribesmen from the valley came. They saw him and they took him to their village. They gave him a name. They gave him an identity. He became the carpenter for the village. So this son of the rich man, he was perfectly fine. At least he was thinking, well, I have an identity, I have a name, and I have people around me, and everything seems to be okay. But he had forgotten his previous position as the son of a rich man. And one day his father actually, because his father was naturally concerned, what happened to my son? And he was searching and searching, and he found his son one day in this tribal village. And as he approached his son, the son did not recognize him. Who are you? I am your father. You don't recognize me? I don't know who you are. So in this way, the father could understand that the son was spirit, he was experiencing an amnesia effect of his fall. So he went and he searched out some doctors who came back and gave him some shock treatments. And after receiving these shock treatments, the son then revived his original identity and recognized his true father. And they embraced and went back home. So we turned our backs on Krishna We made our descent. We came to this material world. As we descended, we bumped our head at some point and forgot everything. We're experiencing spiritual amnesia. As the son, he received shock treatments from his father. In the same way, when we come to this material world, we have to deal with Krishna's material energy. The material energy is constantly giving us this similar kind of shock treatment to make us realize that this is not really our constitutional situation. In the ninth canto, the pastime of Lord Ramachandra, there's a nice description there where the Lord desired to cross the Indian Ocean in order to defeat Ravana, and he sat in meditation for, I think it was 7 days, intense meditation, hoping that the personality of the ocean would appear to negotiate the crossing. However, he waited and waited, and after 7 days, he became very, very angry. And with his red-hot eyes, he glanced at the ocean. And in the waters of the ocean, the fishes and aquatics, the different aquatics within the ocean became very perturbed. And at that point, the personification of the ocean came out with folded hands and said, "Yes, my dear Lord, unless you kick the conditioned soul, how will they understand their real position?" And in Prabhupada's purport, he mentions how that in World War II, the soldiers would build what was called fox holes. They're like trenches where the soldiers would go down into the trench and protect themselves from the artillery of the enemy, in the same time fight the enemy. But he mentioned that sometimes the enemy's artillery was so intense that the soldiers would drop their ammunition. They would fold their hands and say a prayer, "My dear Lord, I have tried to protect myself here, but I can see in this situation, thy will be done. You decide what is my fate." There's many stories, even in the Krishna book, with Kamsa. Kamsa had already killed 7 of Devaki's, was it 6? 6 of Mother Devaki's children. And he was about to kill the 7th child. And suddenly the 7th child rose in the air and in the form of Durga, with 10 arms and 8 weapons. She chastised Kamsa, "You fool! You think that you can kill me?" And then she severely chastised Kamsa. And because of that severe chastisement, Kamsa, he actually had a change of heart and he released Vasudev and Devaki. Of course, that change didn't last very long. He was a big demon, and just because he had, because he was a demon and he had the association of other demons, his ministers were demons, and they spoke with him in such a way that the situation went from bad to worse. But the point that we want to make here is that the material nature has the power to wake us up from our spiritual amnesia condition, because we need to be waking up. We're living in a dream world. There was a king, one morning after waking up, he called his ministers. "My dear ministers, I have one inquiry I want to put before you." And the ministers said, "Yes, my dear king, what is that inquiry?" He said, "Well, I had a dream last night. I dreamt that I was a butterfly. I can even remember flying around and landing on different flowers. I remember the flower colors and the scent coming from the flowers. I remember my own butterfly colors. The dream was so real. But my inquiry to you is, am I a king who dreamt I was a butterfly? Or am I a butterfly now dreaming that I'm a king?" This was his inquiry. Of course, the answer to that question is that he's neither a king or a butterfly. He is an eternal spirit soul. So in this way, the ministers advised him, don't be affected by your daytime dreams or your nighttime dreams, because they're just dreams. No matter how real the daytime dreams are, and they appear to be so real. The world is such, especially today with our advanced technology, everything appears to be so real, so inviting, so satisfying. But it is just the flip side of a nighttime dream. It is here today, and it's gone tomorrow. At some point in our severe suffering that we obtain from the material nature, we start wondering, perhaps, there's something more to life than what it appears. Perhaps the first heavy slap, let me just dramatize this, just to make it clear. You will probably remember what happened to you also before you became a devotee. So here's the first slap from material nature, which makes us think. Yeah! Oh. That hurt. Just chance. Yeah, that's it. Chance. And the next one comes. Yeah! really hurt. That's life. Sometimes up, sometimes down. That's life. And then, one day, it's a double one. To deserve this. This is our first inquiry. We're making progress. What have I done to deserve this suffering? Who am I? Where am I from? Atato Brahma Jignas. What is the nature of the absolute truth? And this is when the super soul starts to intervene. Do you remember before you became a devotee and when you just started to connect with the devotees, there was something, suddenly something very mystical happened? In my own experience, I was just innocently sitting watching television one day at my parents' house. I was watching Top of the Pops. In England they have this top 10 popular song charts. And I was waiting for number one. And number one came. But I got a very big surprise because they were not long-haired hippies. They didn't have guitars or these kind of big drums and psychedelic hippie clothes, but they were shaven head devotees wearing dhoti kurta, and they were singing the Hare Krishna mantra. And I was thinking, this must be some joke. Yeah, it's just a joke. But it was no joke. The devotees were in number one for 6 weeks. I had to tolerate 6 weeks of the Hare Krishna mantra. But little did I know that something was happening, that I was, that some, a seed was being planted within my heart. And this is the reason why I'm sitting here today. The super soul starts to take personal interest. Before that, he's just standing there, just watching us, and not very happy at all. What is he doing? What is she doing now? But anyway, because he's a super soul, he will fulfill whatever desire you have. But he's not very happy. But when we start to connect, when we start to feel the pains of this material world and start inquiring, he makes these very, very special arrangements. He takes very special interest in his devotees. This is explained. We just read this verse. Tesham satatam yuktanam bhajitam prithipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. That. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And text 11 is even more wonderful. Out of compassion for them, I, dwelling within their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So in this way, he sends the spiritual master. The spiritual master gives us our seat belt. Yeah, when you go on a plane, that's what they say. Sit, fasten your seat belt, sit back, and enjoy the flight. Isn't it? So that seat belt is the sadhana bhakti. We are very safe, as providing we are engaged in sadhana bhakti. Rupa Goswami explains, he gives his definition of what sadhana bhakti is. He says, sadhana bhakti, the definition is one who engages his mind and his senses in devotional service for the purpose of reawakening the dormant love that is already there within. So, when Krishna sees us engaged in loving devotional service, to the extent, of course, to the extent of how much love we give, he will give us his special gift, and that is explained in this verse, that he will annihilate all ignorance and give transcendental knowledge. Of course, again, I say to the degree that we surrender, because when we first become devotees, it's not that we give our whole heart. Generally speaking, our service is divided. A little bit for me, and, well, I'll give this much to Krishna. Oh, wait a minute, I gave a little bit too much to Krishna, a little bit more for me. This is divided. Somehow we've got to come to the point of unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service, which is mentioned in this verse, when one actually comes up to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. So, in this way, we make our little effort, but it's not dependent just on our efforts. We also depend on grace. We work in such a way that everything depends on us, but we pray in such a way that everything depends on Krishna. See, this is a little bit different than the yogis and the jnanis. The yogis, they are trying to perform their yogic perfection, but it's done by their own efforts. And the jnanis are engaged in mental speculation. Prabhupada said that you can engage in mental speculation for hundreds and thousands of years, but you still will not understand the absolute truth. You may sit in meditation. You may ultimately, after a long, long, hard endeavor, attain some mystic perfection or meditative meditation. But it's an endeavor. I remember back in the late 70s in Sweden, in our Korsnäs Gård. It's a rural temple. We used to have a Sunday feast there. We used to start with kirtan and then pravachan lecture, and then we would bring the prasad out on the grass, and the devotees would line up, get their plates, and take the prasad and sit down and enjoy prasad. Now, one Sunday, there was a group of yogis that came. I don't want to disrespect them in any way. I'm sure they were trying and their efforts were sincere. to achieve whatever they wanted to achieve. But they had come to the Krishna temple. And in a Krishna temple, we give prasad to everyone. But here were these yogis. Everyone else was sitting taking prasad, and they were still in their meditation. They missed the kirtan, they missed the class, and if we didn't do something about it, they would miss the prasad too. So we discussed a little bit, what shall we do? And the temple president said, just make up the plates and place it before them on the ground. Which we did. And then we watched. And it was like something like this. You probably can't see back there, but they were peeping with their eyes down at the prasad. Now, how long can you peep at prasad? You know, the tongue is gonna... You cannot sit and ignore prasad. Prasad is Krishna and Krishna is prasad. They're non-different. So naturally, after some time, they broke their meditation and they sat and took prasad. Sri Bhagavat Prasad Ki Jai. So we have these wonderful weapons, even for the yogis. And we have transcendental knowledge for the jnanis. We can defeat anyone and everyone in this world, no matter how stubborn one may be. One time a disciple asked Prabhupada, how many liberated souls are there in this world? Of course, we were thinking the answer to that's quite simple. Well, there's probably just a few. Prabhupada's one, maybe there's a few others. And Prabhupada, he stopped, he said, how many devotees are in ISKCON? So at that time there were about 1,000 devotees. So a devotee said, well, 1,000 devotees, Prabhupada. Then there are 1,000 liberated souls. Another disciple asked Prabhupada, or said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you speak so nicely about Krishna. And then Prabhupada said, you speak or I speak? Krishna is sweet. Sweet meat is sweet. Whether you eat it or I eat it. He wasn't going to have us believe that he was the only person that could speak about Krishna. In fact, in everything that he asked us to do, even though we couldn't do it, he said, just pray to Krishna and he will give you the intelligence to speak and to act. So, in this way, Prabhupada wanted to bring us up. He wanted to bring us up to the transcendental position of Krishna consciousness. And he saw the propensity in each and every one of us. Sometimes, of course, we're engaged in our different activities and we don't, especially in the beginning, it seems like nothing's really happening. We question, is this really working? It's like that plane journey that I said, you fasten the seatbelt. And the first part of the journey is very peculiar because you're going down the runway very, very fast. And the plane is shaking and you're shaking. And you're wondering, you know, is this going to take off soon? And Krishna consciousness is like that. I think it was Shruti Kirti who mentioned in his book that Prabhupada said that the first 12 years there is very little faith. Whatever you do after those 12 years, whatever you say and do will have some meaning. So it's natural that in the beginning we're wondering whether we are taking off in our Krishna consciousness. Because Prabhupada said, you only know that when you make some headway. We only know the plane is taken off when we see the ground moving away from us. So sometimes we question whether Krishna consciousness is really for me. Well, actually, that's not the question, because Krishna consciousness is for everyone, simply because it is our constitutional position. But we have to be patient. There was one grandfather living with his grandson at the foot of the Himalayan mountains. And each morning the grandfather would wake up. He would go down to the river, take his bath. He would come back to the cottage, put tilak, dhoti kruta, and he would sit down and open up Bhagavad Gita and read for 1 hour. Now his grandson, perhaps he wouldn't get up as early, but he would still follow the same way as his grandfather. And he would go down, take a bath, come back, put dhoti, tilak, dhoti, kurta, and he would also sit and for 1 hour read Bhagavad Gita. However, after some time, one morning the grandfather was putting some coal, some last pieces of coal on the fire. And the grandson inquired, Grandfather, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita every day, but when I close the book, I forget everything I read. So what really is the point? So the grandfather said, well, there is a point, and I will demonstrate it to you. Take this basket and take it down to the river and bring back some water. So the grandson did that, but when he returned, he noticed that all the water had seeped out of the sides. And he came back into the cottage and said, Grandfather, there's no water left. So the grandfather said, well, that's because you're not enthusiastic enough. Go down with some much more eagerness and then come back, which he did. But again, on returning, there was no water. He came into the cottage, he said, Grandfather, this is really a waste of time. Give me that bucket there, and I will go and fill the bucket up with water and bring back for you. And the grandfather said, no, I don't want a bucket of water, I want a basket of water. Go down again, this time I will watch you. So he came out and watched the grandson. Grandson knew this was a waste of time, but just to prove to his grandfather, he ran down and he filled it up with water, the basket. And he ran back so fast. He never ran so fast before. When he returned to the cottage, was there any water? No. You see, Grandpa, you see, there is no water, a waste of time. Oh, no, not exactly. The grandfather said, have you seen within the basket? Have a look inside. So the grandson, he looked into the basket. And suddenly he saw the basket was different than previously, which was a dirty, dusty coal basket. Suddenly now it was shining white, brilliant white, clean and pure. And he explained to the grandson, this is what it happens to you when you open up Bhagavad Gita. So we can apply this same analogy to anything that we're doing in our Krishna consciousness, whether it's chanting 16 rounds, whether it's reading Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavad Gita, even taking prasad. Yes, it's a yoga feat. Krishna says very clearly, those who eat food which is not offered are verily eating only sin. Whereas those who are eating sanctified food, just by eating sanctified food, they're being released from all sinful reactions. So, we should have no doubt. The activities of Krishna consciousness are all liberating activities, sat activities. The Srimad Bhagavatam is eternal, the Bhagavad Gita is eternal. Who can hold up a book and say, this book is 160 million years old, which is the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, I spoke this knowledge to the sun god 160 million years ago. Who can say that? We can say. Therefore it is eternal. The holy name is eternal. All these different devotional service itself is eternal. What we're doing now is what we will do in the spiritual world. Prabhupada gives another kind of story which is very relevant to today's class. I will finish with this story. There was a very pure sage, and he wanted to give benedictions to different varieties of persons. So first he came before the son of a king, a prince, and he blessed him. My dear prince, you're the son of a king. I bless that you live forever. Of course, however, this particular prince was living a materialistic life. He was a sense enjoyer. But the sage could understand that as soon as he dies, in his next life you'll become a monkey or a pig. So better you live forever. Live forever, because at least now you're enjoying life. To the son of a saint, someone who was living a very regulated life according to the Vedic stanzas, he blessed him. You, my dear follower of the Vedic stanzas, you don't live at all. When you pass away, you'll get liberation. Better go now, in case something happens to you. So I bless that you leave now. Then to a sadhu, a devotee, he blessed. Yeah, live or die, you decide. Either way, you're already liberated. Either way, you're liberated now, living. After life, you will also be in a liberated condition. And then to the butcher, he blessed. Don't live, don't die. Don't live, because your life is so abominable. But don't die, because after this life, you will go to a hellish situation. It will be so hellish, no one can understand how you will suffer in your hellish condition. So don't die. So this is a very nice analogy of different persons within this world, but highlighting the position of a devotee, that whether he's living or afterlife, it doesn't matter. What we are doing now is transcendental, and as it's mentioned here in this verse, It's ever fresh. Our life as a devotee is ever fresh. We have everything to gain and nothing to lose. So on that note, I will finish. Don't have any doubts. Continue performing your Krishna consciousness. Whatever you do, don't leave Krishna consciousness. We're on Lord Chaitanya's transcendental boat, which is crossing the ocean of Saga. And if all we have to do is chant, dance, feast, perform a little service, engage others in that devotional service, then this way, more and more we will see as we rise in our Krishna consciousness, everything is effortless because it is all being done for us by Krishna. I will finish there. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam class ki, Nitai Gaur Premananda.
Thank you.